latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four, plus this, I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer.
Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Destination unknown. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back in the races. Coming up toward 11 o'clock here on the East Coast. Out on the West Coast, where Phil D'Amato is, it's coming up on 8 o'clock. And Phil D'Amato getting an early graded stake win on the Del Mar season. Bowie's hero, the Eddie Reed yesterday. Phil, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Steve.
You know, this is really a fun horse, and a horse that, and really the division out there, you know, continues to be intriguing. It seems like everybody takes their turn, but this is a horse that, you know, has had some big moments. He won the Kill Row, so he's a Grade One winner. It seems like he kind of goes in and out of form too. I mean, that he has a tendency to, you know, to kind of get out and then you work him back in. Talk about going into yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was actually last year early on or through the middle of the year, it was very consistent for me, running some really big races in that transition period, you know, from 3 to 4, and he showed me he could take that step, and I just think towards the end there, by the time I got to Del Mar last year, I had a tired horse. Good horses, they always train good in the mornings, but in the afternoons, that's when they'll tell you, you know, how much they really have in the tank. And, you know, he came off a really subpar performance for me last year, and Rosario rode him, and we just thought it was best to give him some time off, and we did, and he's come back as good as new.
You know, you kind of waded into the year in the spring and that included a trip up to Golden Gate for the San Francisco. He ran kind of evenly, didn't have much pace to close into, then came back in the Shoemaker and actually ran a sneaky good race in the Shoe.
Yeah, I think that was the indicator there that he was kind of rounding into his form cycle. He was short on me going into that race at Golden Gate, but I knew I needed to get that race into him to get him started off. And once I did, I could just see a steady improvement with him, you know, ever since the layoff race and really big effort at Santa Anita and proved best yesterday.
You know, what's interesting about him, and I'm looking at both his PPs and his DRF PPs with Byers, and I've also got his Thorograph sheet here. He pretty much got to a certain level, and this is not unusual for Artie Schillers, and he basically has stayed, you know, in terms of figs, he has basically, you know, stayed within a certain range. Has he changed at all physically? Because now he is a full 5-year-old mature horse.
Yeah, he's bigger and stronger now. And I just think he's a fresh horse, you know, and he's actually, his style's kind of changed too. I think earlier on he didn't mind being up a little bit closer to the pace. And in the last couple of races, I've seen that he doesn't mind relaxing a little bit more and giving me a bigger finish late. That was kind of on display yesterday. I thought that was visually his most impressive race. Those were some nice horses in there. And he kicked away pretty good at the end.
He did. And it's notable because in his wins to date, they've been more narrow, and for him to run away from a very solid field top to bottom, it's pretty notable. This was a good sign.
Yeah, I'm excited, and this whole campaign this year has been devised around if he was good enough, which he's showing he is, to have a fresh horse come Breeders' Cup time, and we're probably looking at if everything goes right, maybe another two more races and then the Breeders' Cup.
You know, this is a mile and an eighth, and he hasn't been beyond a mile and an eighth, has he?
No, I don't believe so. He's based on the way he was cruising yesterday and his late punch, I mean, out down the road, it presented itself. I wouldn't see why not to give him a try a little bit further, but I think going a mile to a mile and an eighth, he's going to get just enough pace to where I think that'll play a little bit more to his favor with his closing kick.
How tricky is he to ride? I mean, you've basically had guys come on and ride him, you know, for sets of races, including DeSormo, who certainly at Del Mar, as good as anybody, Nakatani the same way, Rosario certainly put on a show going back to, I thought, to Saturday. We'll talk to Tim Yakteen in a little bit. You've had Giovanni Franco. You've had Arad Ortiz, Flavian Pratt with the opportunity yesterday.
He's very straightforward. I mean, he's won races for me coming up the rail, you know, splitting horses, you name it. He's kind of done it. He's been up close. He's come from behind. He's just a warrior. And I think the key with him is when he's, when I have that fuel tank going at 100%, he gives you everything he's got. He's good enough to compete with the best of them, and that's just kind of the way we've trained him this year. Just finding the select races, having the master plan to hopefully get him to the Breeders' Cup, and so far it's working out.
Well, and this was. This was what, seventh career win in 19 starts, and he also, if I'm not mistaken, how close does this get him to a million? He's knocking on the door. I think almost 900,000 in earnings. So depending on the stake on the next, you know, on the intermediate start, he's gonna be a millionaire.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. And if I can if we can get him a couple grade one wins to make him a multiple grade one winner, then, you know, maybe he'd have a chance further on after his racing career. But one step at a time, and he came out of the race in really good shape. I was very happy with how he looked this morning, so I'm excited to keep going.
Well, you've also got a notable ownership team in here that I got a reference, and of course the Agave stable that really has emerged and now is having sustained success. I had Eric Johnson on last week because he was one of the people that was doing the Saratoga Del Mar opening day double, and EJ gets himself another stake win. Was he still on hand?
He was there. He's definitely got the hot hand across the country, so we don't mind that at all.
Well, and of course, Sol, and the problem that Sol had was he couldn't be in at both venues in the same day.
Yeah, no, all really good supporters. I mean, all those guys, and when you get them together, you know, you've got that good luck mojo with all those guys. You know, it really makes everything fun when you win.
Tell who's Rockin' Robin, the Rockin' Robin people.
Yeah, kind of. They're friends with Mark Martinez, and they join in a lot of the Agave racing partnerships and some other partnerships as well. Good people, and they're lucky as well. They were with Mark with Fault, I believe, and some other nice horses, and we all have a good time over here in Del Mar.
Well, and there's also, I guess we should reference too, nothing wrong with breaking through and getting the first win of the meet, have it be a grade two.
Yeah, no, we'll take it. We'll definitely take it. Kind of a little bittersweet after almost got the stake the day before, but to break through in this race. I love this Eddie Reed and Pratt and I. We've had really good luck in this race and developing up some nice horses, and hopefully we can continue with Bowie.
Well, and you mentioned almost winning the Daisy Cutter on Saturday. We should touch on SY Sky and Just Grazed Me. SY with Drayden Van Dyke, beaten just fell what? About a little less than a length short of Painting Corners, Peter Miller, Altamira, and Slam Dunk. But I thought Just Grazed Me at a big price ran great.
Yeah, you know, and that filly, she was coming off a long layoff. So I think I'm looking forward to seeing her run next time, because I definitely think she'll improve for that from the outing and be a force on the grass. I really liked her action on it, and she looked like she handled it well against some nice mares. And hopefully we've got a nice 1-2 punch between her and SY Sky.
Well, and to stay with Just Graze Me for a minute, here is another product of Grazin who's got to be, you know, the bluest of blue-collar California stallions. A Nick Alexander homebred, can't say no, and she had been going into this. You know, this was her four-year-old debut, and people may not have noticed. I mean, she had three wins, three seconds last year in six starts. So she's never been off the board in her career, seven starts.
Yeah, that sire's been really, really, really good to me, along with the owner, Nick Alexander. These Grazins, they do anything. Dirt turf, short, long. I won the Mel-Air Stake a couple of weeks ago with a Grazin filly named Ruby Bradley. The list is long. And you're right. He's a blue collar kind of horse, but when you get those horses by Grazin, they're always seem to be, you know, sturdy horses that withstand the test of time and just get better with age.
Well, he's the new Unusual Heat.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. And got a bunch of nice 2-year-old Grazins in the barn coming along. So hopefully. Maybe Andy Del Mar, but more like Santa Anita. But looking forward to getting them released.
Well, and I certainly was going to quiz you on your 2-year-olds. Let's look ahead to this week, Wednesday. What do we got? Mischief with kind of clever spelling, an Irish bred in the seventh, a Sir Prancelot.
Yeah, I think she's going to run a good race. I had her, and I was still learning about her last time, and I run her long, and I think she might be more of a late-running sprinter. And that race that she ran last time was on paper, it looks pretty blah, but she was four wide the whole first turn. Not for anything that the jockey could do, but a horse to her inside was blowing the turn and just kind of stuck her four wide for the first, maybe three-quarters of the race. But she's come back, trained really well. Looks like there's a lot of speed in there. I expect her to come running late.
We'll take it. We'll take Phil D'Amato's week by day on Thursday. Lucky Miss Jones with Martin Garcia in an allowance.
Yeah, she's a filly. I think she's on the improve. We figured out what she wanted to do last time. She's shown that she liked the grass. And I think just by maybe tucking her in and coming with a late run, that seems to be the style that she appreciates. And the way the turf course is playing here at Del Mar, I think that'll suit her style.
Well, we'll keep going. Let's go to Friday. And let's see. Let's start with the maiden. Side Pocket Charger, Aaron Grider aboard in the fifth.
Yeah, she showed me some improvement second time out. I'm kind of limited on options of where to run her. She's bred to keep getting better with age and going long on the grass. So we'll see. I expect her to take a step forward, but we'll see if it's enough to compete, with the best of them in there. But, she's training well.
State Breds also as the feature on Friday, the seventh race at Del Mar, 1/16 on the grass, the California Dreamin'. What a view. Who transferred to you, and I know that was that a sale, or because I know that Kenny Black finished the relationship, but I think
it's the same ownership. They just kind of changed things up in the business path that they were going to take, those owners. And coincidentally enough, Kenny Black is one of my assistants at San Luis Ray Downs. So I've got a really good person there that knows what a view and has definitely helped me and my team along the way in getting him ready to run. So it's going to be one of those where if he runs well, which he showed a really good breeze on the grass the other day, I'll definitely give Kenny and my staff over there a lot of credit for. But he's training very well, and I look forward to running him.
Well, and this has to do with what Old English Rancho has kind of wound down their part of their operation, right?
Yeah, they just restructured the way they start their horses in training, and it was just kind of one of those things. And I've been fortunate enough to get some nice horses from them. And also, luckily have been able to add Kenny onto my team, which
nice.
I think is a nice asset, excellent horseman, and has a great opinion, when he gets on the horses.
Well, this is a series for those that haven't looked ahead to Friday. This is a big-time race. Ashley Love Sugar is in here for Peter Hurton and his team. And you've also got the Hunted. For Baltus, Brando, the bartender, hard hitter. Boy, this is an interesting lineup. It's like everybody's big horse and everybody's barn. You've also got Acclimate now. This one's running under the Elwood Johnson Trust, which is part of that whole
right.
Makeup.
Yeah, no, it's all tied in there. He's
yeah.
another horse. He's doing really nice. My goal with him is the Del Mar Handicap. They don't really have a perfect prep early on in the meet to lead to that race unless you have allowance conditions. So I'm going to kind of use this race to keep him sharp. We're going to try to win, but this is like as good of a prep I could get to then get him to the Del Mar handicap. And I think at that distance, that's what he really wants to do, is run as fast as he can and as far as he can. So, but he's doing really well.
Well, and I can't help but also turn our attention with you to Saturday and the horse that you're running at Ellis. What's going on? How many are you keeping out in Kentucky?
You know, I've got a dozen out there, and it's just a nice way to be able to you know, bounce your horses around and have a little hub in the Midwest. There, the money's really good. They're very owner trainer friendly over there in Kentucky, and you know, when you have a good Kentucky bred, those purses over there between Keeneland and Churchill, and even Kentucky Downs, they're pretty strong. And now the purses at Ellis are good too. You know, so I've kept a string out there, you know, probably will be even a little bit more active when Kentucky Downs comes around to move horses around and have the opportunity to win races and make some money.
I like it. Who's running the string out there for you?
I've got an assistant named Josh Flores, been with me for a while, does an excellent job, trained under some really good horsemen, and he knows the Midwest really well, and very happy with how everything's going over there.
Well, just looking, Barbadola, and this is for Agave, a three-year-old Street Sense filly that, I kind of remember from last year, given the company she kept, including running at the likes of Hollywood Girl and more, and Brill in her debut. So she's been a little unlucky at the entry box in terms of the company she's kept.
Yeah, she's training really well. I thought she was going to run well last time. The pace scenario race over here at Del Mar was really weird that day. They went in like, you know, going a mile on the grass. They went in like 109-1, and she's in chase mode. And it just kind of was one of those things where, it wasn't her day. And in the Midwest, they don't seem to kind of, on the grass, you know, have those kind of pace scenarios where, you know, I'm looking for more, you know, three quarters going a mile on the grass and 111, 112. And I think if that filly gets fractions like that to be on or near the lead doing that, she's going to be much more effective.
Well, you talked about your two-year-olds. Other than the ones that you told Jay Privman about, who should we be watching for, Phil, from your
book? I've got a lot of nice two-year-old fillies that I'm hoping to debut at the very end of the Del Mar meet. I've got a nice Pioneer of the Nile filly. I've got a couple Carpe Diems. Their names are Coco Cookies, and then the other one's a Carpe Venom, and then Blue Sky Baby is the Pioneer of the Nile, all bought out of OBS sales as two-year-olds, and they've all shown a lot. So I'm looking for, and I have a nice Golden Sense filly too, named Gold Diggin', but she probably won't run until Santa Anita.
Gold Diggin' and Coco Cookies, Blue Sky Baby, and Carpe. What was the Carpe second name?
Carpe Venum, V-I-N-U-M. And they're all pretty precocious, forward-looking fillies. We give them a little time to relax after the sale, you know, clear their mind, and we've just got going on them again, but I've started to breeze them, and I really like what I've seen. So.
Well, and the Carpe Diems look like they're gonna pop. We can go back to conversations with Bo Lane, and Bo expected big things, and of course Carpe Diem was raised on his farm, and Golden Sense, absolutely hitting on cylinders. So you got a couple of good first and second crop stallions. And Phil, we are looking forward to seeing you at some point over the summer. You got anything? You coming to Saratoga at all with anything?
I'd like to, but this year it just looks like I'm probably going to be much more in California and also in Kentucky. But all right. You never know.
Well, we're expecting to do something at Kentucky Downs, so maybe we'll see you one of the big Kentucky Downs days.
Definitely.
Phil D'Amato, everybody, and obviously now breaking the ice. Horses were running good, but the breakthrough comes yesterday in the kind of race that's fun to win. The Eddie Reed always Eddie Reed's look good on the resume. Phil D'Amato, folks. Thanks a lot. Phil D'Amato, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Tim Yakteen going to join us, and we'll talk about Saturday and the San Clemente. And Stuart Simon from north of the border, this is one of those horses that is winning stakes and nobody knows about her. Summer Sunday in the Royal North, I think, has won 3 or 4 straight. And one of my favorite under-the-radar stallions, Silent Name. Silent Name gets runners. Let's run into the last 45 on this Monday, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Where's We're back at the races and about 20 plus into hour three. It's been a fast moving morning, which certainly was expected with so much to even the abbreviated Saturday. There's still so much to go over and we'll continue, of course, tomorrow. But right now, more from the weekend and Del Mar, particularly the San Clemente. Tim Yakteen joins us, and I took particular interest in the San Clemente Saturday. Had the new BeatBic NHC online qualifier, and I tabbed the race. I thought, you know, given all the cancellations, I would depend on Del Mar. And boy, you depend on Tim Yakteen and Joel Rosario, and you you come out ahead. And an absolutely confident ride by Rosario on Mucho Unusual. Tim Yakteen joins us. Were you a little nervous how far back he had the horse?
Yes, yes, Steve. exceptionally nervous because that hasn't been her style. You know, we knew that there was quite a bit of pace in the race. But I mentioned to Joelle in the paddock, Joelle, rider with confidence, she's doing great. But that wasn't really what I had inferred to, you know, make one run with her. I figured that, you know, he would break away from there, see how the other speed came away from the gates and find himself a position, possibly, you know, a ground-saving trip and make his move when he deemed necessary. But, you know, we've had so much success this year with Joelle and George Kukorian. We've been very, very lucky. George, Joelle's been making all the right moves for us, so we feel very fortunate.
Well, and there's a lot of things about this that are notable. You mentioned George Kukorian, and I always, you know, I always think of with the Kukorian family. You know, we always think about Hollywood Story and everything, you know, that comes out of that that side of the Kukorian program. But this is a cowbred, and for Mucho Macho Man, it's notable. Cowbred winning a graded stake, certainly notable. And obviously, I think it kind of sent a real flare up, Tim, that she's got a lot to offer. I mean, if she's going to be that rateable and tactical, there's probably give you the confidence to do any kind of thing with her.
Yeah, I think when you go into a race with a filly or a horse that's as tactical as she's demonstrated from being able to perform on the lead, come from off the pace or come completely out of it. You know, nothing is going to predicate to them to be a potential compromiser in that regard from a pace scenario, because they can, you know, just run the race the way they position themselves.
When did the decision, and talk about the decisions to put her on the grass, and, you know, now it's three straight wins, including a graded stake and the Cal Cup Oaks going back to February.
Right. Well, all along we had hoped that she would really excel once we got her on the grass. We were trying to stay with the state bred program. Early on in the year, that program was mainly on the main track, and she had performed well, but she really hadn't performed to the level that we had, that we were seeing in the morning. We thought she would perform, you know, be doing what she's sort of come into herself. So when we ran the race back in January, the track was pretty deep, and she had really shown that, you know, it was time to migrate over to the turf, because when some of these turf horses, when they sort of have their head thrown away from them and they're on a deeper surface, they really sort of get the swimming in place. And so fortunately we were able to come right back after that allowance race where she ended up running fourth. We came back in the Cal Cup Oaks, and she's able to show that she really was a turf filly at that point. And that's sort of how the story unfolded.
Well, you win this, and between the ride and her getting up the way the way she did. I'm sure Keith DeSormo and that group thought that they were home with Apache Princess. How sure were you when they hit the wire that you had the nose down?
Coming into the lane, I didn't know if we were going to get there, but once we got close, I was getting pretty confident. And as we got to the wire, I think Joelle pretty much had her measured, so I was confident once we were at the wire that we were in front. Apalachee Princess and Mucho Unusual, they've met each other more than once, and you know, as you mentioned, it was another feather in the cap for the Cowbred program. Running 1-2 actually in that race.
That's true, and that's a great point about Apache Princess, who herself made the transition from the dirt over to the turf, and that ride, you know, that late move at Del Mar. I mean, that for years you've watched DeSormo do that, Corey Nakatani. Most recently, Drayden Van Dyke does a great job understanding the pace and when to move at Del Mar. And you know, Joelle certainly had his time out west. This was a very clever maneuver by Ron Anderson, who's maintaining some of those, you know, some of those winter mounts and some of the winter contact. Fold that in, actually, you know, having the opportunity to bring Joelle back on Mucho.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Bringing Rosario coming out to ride this weekend.
That worked out really well for us. He was coming out to ride Catalina for John Sadler, and we were fortunate enough to get Joelle in the irons.
He had ridden her. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was his third time on her. So we were pretty confident when we were able to get him that, you know, they'd make a good team again for us.
And well, now that he gets this kind of win on her, you got to figure Ron's not going to lose a touch now, right? He's going to he'll keep you on speed dial. They won the Cal Cup together, the Cal Cup Oaks, so he's 2-for-3 aboard Mucho Unusual. Tim, you know, you've had a limited start to the meet. Pretty good way to swing into action.
It is. Unfortunately, the way my barn has cycled, we were sort of a little lacking in the entry box this first part of the meet, but hopefully things will start picking up. You know, as you know, barns will cycle in and out with their starters, and we sort of had a few more starters right before the Del Mar meet, so hopefully you'll see quite a bit of action coming up here towards the end of the month now and into August. And it's always a nice way to start a meet with a win, especially with a stakes win. So we feel pretty fortunate to start off that way.
When speaking of Calbreds and stake winners, when's Cordiality? When's the next opportunity for her?
Cordiality, we're going to give her a little bit of a breather. She had a pretty strong campaign this winter, so you'll probably see her back in action in November.
All right, so off until the fall. How about some of the other? You mentioned Kirkcore. I talk about the Kirkorian team and Big Buzz. It's funny, we just talked about Grayson with Phil D'Amato, and here's the Kirkorian House Stallion, Mr. Big. What's going on with Big Buzz?
Okay, well, I've got Big Score, and Big Score is he's coming back in great shape. We gave him a little bit of a breather this spring. And he had his first three ace actually yesterday, and you should see him in action the first week. at the autumn meet at Santa Anita.
Interesting. All right, so that's the sibling, right? That's Mucho's.
That's all
out of that same mare, right? Not unusual.
Yeah, not unusual. Yeah, she's been a great, great broodmare for George, and that Nick obviously has worked well on the Mr. Big side, but you know he ventured out and got a Mucho Macho Man out of her, and I think we've got a Kitten's Joy down the pipeline.
Nice.
That's going to be coming out of her. So we've got a few that we're going to be looking forward to.
Well, I see what's happened. George moved him, eh?
Oh, we moved him up to Golden Gate to get his confidence built up, try and hit a little bit of a weaker condition, and you know, he's run some good races up there, and I think what we're going to see here is we're going to see Big Buzz try and actually stretch out and get into some longer races to possibly where he can sit a little bit closer on the pace and just continue to gallop along. So I think that George is planning on running Big Buzz towards the end of the month here, so you should see him in the entry box within probably the next week to 10 days.
Very good. Well, how about the 2-year old front, Tim, while we got you? How do you look? When are we going to see some 2-year olds?
You know, I've got a few 2-year olds, and we're just a little bit behind on them. We're some of these other stables might be a little bit ahead, but quite a few of the ones that I have, the pedigrees are just a little later in maturing. So we got our fingers crossed and gonna see what materializes. And from George's standpoint, George had a very active year on the sales side, so we sold quite a few. That actually being mentioned, Mr. Big had his first cowbred foal come out of the box running. The Brocklebank team was able to buy him last September, I want to say, here at Del Mar last August as a yearling. And he put on quite a show in the cowbred allowance race the other day, winning by 7 lengths. So his name is Big Return. So we're pretty excited about that because you'll see Mr. Big's California crop start appearing quite a bit in the cowbred program, and hopefully migrating into open company then.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Tim, always excited and happy when I know I'm going to get a chance to talk to you and congratulate you on a success. And this one, awfully nice, and especially because I jumped aboard for our contest for the NHC online qualifier, and she kind of jumped off the page at me, so I was very pleased, and we'll look forward to catching up with you later in the summer.
Well, I look forward to it as well. Always love talking to you, so don't ever hesitate to call on me when we have something to talk about. And good luck with your competition there.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, they got me yesterday. They came back and Mandela, but you know, that's one thing that every horseman in California, you've all been beaten by Mandela at one point or another. So I joined that company yesterday.
All right.
Tim Yakteen, everybody.
Well, thank you very much.
Always great. Tim Yakteen, and you can follow Tim, and you can follow Camilla, Millie Ball, Mrs. Yakteen, Camilla Yakteen, and Tim Yakteen. They both are on Twitter if you want to latch aboard. Tim does a terrific job. We're going to go from the West Coast to north of the border, and in the same way that Yakteen's filly is now streaking, the same could be said about Stuart Simon with the silent name filly Summer Sunday, who won the Royal North. And Stuart, congratulations. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Steve.
I'm delighted to catch up with you, and this is probably another one of those horses that, you know, is winning races one after another and nobody really knows about.
Yeah, they fly under the radar sometimes, I think, a little bit. But she's a nice filly that seems to be in an awfully good groove right now.
I have been banging the drum about Silent Name for ages, and we had just a year or two when the Adina team had sent him to Joe McMahon, and he stood in New York for maybe it was just one season, and then he went back up to Adina North, and we were breeding a mare or two, and I would have loved to have gotten to Silent Name. For people that aren't really paying attention to pedigree, Silent Name just gets runners, Stuart, and it feels like she's the latest success.
Yeah, I mean, he's been such a solid sire, and I mean, he's had, it's not like they've only been stakes winners here. He's had some good graded stakes winners that have won in places like Santa Anita and Gulfstream and around the country. So, yeah, he's just been a really solid sire, I think.
Well, you are now looking at a multiple graded stake winner, and she won it First Asking, going short, and the Hendry win, and now this Royal North victory. How good is she, and what are you thinking about? She's now reeled off three straight mid 90 buyers.
Yeah, right now we're definitely looking at the Masters in Presque Isle as a kind of a target race, as we have been for a while. She'll run once more up here in, I think it's the third week of August in the Seaway, and probably, hopefully, everything goes well onto the Masters. And from there, we'll see what direction we'll go, but how it keeps going from there.
Well, and the Masters at Presque Isle has really become an important prep for the Filly and Mare Sprint and the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, the question becomes with this filly, can she dirt? And you did try her in the Beaumont, and it looks on paper, Stuart, like that didn't go well. Is there more to it than the surface, or do you just feel like you're going to have to keep her on synthetic and turf?
I really maintain she's trained so well in Palm Meadows in the wintertime working and in Keeneland, and both times I tried her on the dirt, there was other circumstances that prevented her from running well at them days, and I know it looks that way, that she doesn't really like dirt, but I tell you, she's trained so well on it that I'd really like to try her again someday on it, because I'm not convinced of that as much as it looks like that on her form. So we'll have to make some decisions down the line, I guess.
Well, certainly coming out and heading toward the Presque Isle Masters, which is a grade two, and has been a steady supplier of filly and mare sprint, not just competitors, but winners. I think there's been four filly and mare sprint winners out of there, right? You don't even have to win it. You can do what John Kimmel did and be second.
It does seem like it's been a real stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup race in the past. That's for certain.
Well, this filly, not just the three straight wins, but she's now seven of nine. And talk about the acquisition. Talk about Ann and Bill Scott, who bought her. And it looks like she was just a tremendous bargain at that Canadian sale back in September of 16.
Yeah, Bill, I've trained her for 10, 12 years since I've moved to Toronto here. And from the West, and he's just him and his wife are a gem of people I had to train for, and have been very very patient whenever you've had a horse that needs time and that with. And Bill just asked me that year that he couldn't make it to the sales, could you look at a few of these hit numbers? And so I went to the sale, and I actually we settled on her after I looked at her and, you know, bought her and been happy with her ever since.
Well, and I'm just, if that was September, the fall sale of 16, she was a weanling.
She was actually a yearling. So I don't know if that's a misprint. I bought her as a yearling.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. She was born. There we go. 15. She was born in 15, not 16. Okay. I see it now. $72,000 Canadian?
Yeah, that's you after she was 95.
Okay. All right. So that's still a bargain.
For what she's turned out to, yes.
Well, and she was, who did the early work with her as a young horse?
She was broke up here in that fall and then went to Ocala for the winter. Jolene Weeks had her there in Ocala for me for a couple, 3 months, and then she came back when the weather got better in March back to me here at Woodbine.
Well, for those that didn't notice, Summer Sunday yesterday, and it certainly was a Summer Sunday. How many times in your experience, Stuart, have they canceled up there for warm weather?
For warm weather, I think I've been here for 10 years now, and there was only one other occasion where we had to cancel for heat. So it doesn't happen often, but it has happened.
Well, I know, and I know on Saturday morning Tommy Massis had sent out a tweet that at about 8 o'clock they were convening and making a decision, and they went ahead with the Saturday racing, and now I think we're ideally we've gotten past this, so yeah, we can go on with our summer. Talk a little bit about what else. I mean, you had a nice effort. I know you fell short in the Ontario Colleen the other day. That was what, Thursday or Friday?
That was actually Saturday. Yeah.
Saturday. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a nice filly, Sister Peacock, that we bought as a yearling in the Keeneland September sale for a pretty good bargain price. And she had been undefeated here at Woodbine until that day. And I mean, she didn't get an ideal trip as far as being chased along on the lead by a long shot, 90-1 shot. But, you know, certainly the winner is a very nice horse. She can destroy. She's legit. But yeah, Sister Peacock, I think she'll beat, you know, pretty good horses going a mile, but I think she'll beat very, very good horses up to 7 furlongs. So I think she's going to be an up and coming star.
Sister Peacock, third to Seek and Destroy. The Chad Brown, you know, Chad Brown is the actually you can we could call the Chad Brown barn.
Right.
Seek and Destroy is a good nickname for the barn because they seek out these snake spots and they destroy everything. She wins the Ontario Colleen Saturday. I got to ask you about one of our favorites that we haven't, this last time I talked to you. What's next for Yorkton coming out of the Highlander?
Yeah, right now we're just kind of regrouping with Yorkton. He grabbed a quarter pretty good in his last race in the Highlander. And so we're just kind of regrouping with him. He's going to breeze this week and we're going to work out a schedule. You know, there's still some good sprint races later on in the year here for him. So yeah, we're just kind of regrouping with him but he's doing fine.
How old is he?
He's five actually.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was, starting to get a little long in the tooth. Talk about the you also had a maiden winner on Saturday, I see, Street Zapper.
Yeah, she's a nice Ghost Zapper filly that Chiefswood Stables own, that she's just been steadily improving, and she's a real gutsy filly. She kind of had a tough overland trip and still got up to win, and I think she's the best of her is still yet to come also.
Well, and you also in the last 10 days or so, another Chiefswood maiden breaker, that Nygon's Spin looks like a filly now that, might take a step forward after breaking through.
Right. Yeah. She'll run kind of all day long on the grass. So we're really looking at, there's a restricted Canadian bred stake here on August the 10th going a mile and a quarter. So that's what we're going to be shooting for with her. She's also a young and proven filly. Right now we've got quite a few fillies that seem to be going in the right direction. So,
well, boy, that's all we're talking about, fillies, other than Yorkton. But what about some two-year-olds? When do you swing into action with your babies?
Yeah, I've just gotten one or two just kind of up to the races, and I think I have a few decent babies, but they're going to be a while. They're the types that, you know, aren't coming into hand right away. But, yeah, later this summer, hopefully we have some more come along that are going to be future stars.
Well, and clearly, with I mean, just as we've mentioned, there's three recent maiden breakers. You and your clients, and certainly Chiefswood, have been around a long time. They're not an outfit that is you know, trying to break records, getting horses to win first out. They've got a long term, you know, more of a long term mentality.
Yes, you know, they're patient, as are most or my other owners are too. That it's. You know, you look at the horse's career on the long term, and you know, try to do what's right, and you know, for their career overall, and also a lot of the pedigrees that we either buy or Chiefswood breeds are for, you know, running longer distances and a little bit later maturing type horses. So they just make you wait on them. You know, you got to do the right thing kind of thing.
Well, Stuart Simon has been proving really to be doing the right thing on a regular basis. And the last couple of years, and certainly, you know, with the kind of stock that you now have access to, Stuart, you prove out how capable you are with picking a horse out and developing it, or getting a good horse that comes your way. Congratulations again, and look forward to talking again soon.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Stuart Simon, and this is a really nice filly. Summer Sunday, and you just heard about another few, and, of course, Yorkton, already an established type. We've ripped through 2 hours and 50 minutes. We got about 8 or 9 left, and a perfect opportunity to close out the morning. We started talking this morning about Mary Lou Whitney and the legacy that she leaves. And the horseman, we didn't get a chance to talk to Nick today, but we'll have the first conversation with the horseman, with Ian Wilkes, who in recent years had the opportunity to train for Mary Lou and for John. Ian, obviously, everybody in the game, fans and horse players and the breeding community, everybody that has any interest in the game, saddened by Mary Lou's passing. You and Tracy really came to enjoy being associated with her.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I have to. It is sad, you know. She's special, special lady. It wasn't about her. It was always about a horse. Horse come first.
When did you first connect with her? And when did she first start sending you horses?
You know, that's a good question. Someone asked me that the other day, and, you know, it's been, you know, I've come into a short time part of her life, and just at the end here, I would say it's probably been, you know, 6 or 7 years, maybe. You know, I never looked it up. I just enjoyed it. Time seems to fly when you're having fun.
Well, and it also, you know, when you're winning stake races for any owner, but you're talk about your conversations with her and you know, the opportunities that, you know, that you had to, you know, kind of get to know her. I mean, obviously it was late in her life and in her career as a breeder owner.
Yeah, you know, it's so enjoyable to watch a race. You know, I'll just even just win a race for her at Saratoga and just hear the people, you know, chant Mary Lou, Mary Lou, Mary Lou. That's just, it's unbelievable, you know, and it could be just a claiming race, but the crowd is just so happy for her. And then you know, you don't win all the time, but, you know, you run a race and you And you, and she said, yeah, that's okay. We'll get them next time, you know. And she was very, very humble about it. Would love to see her horses come closing. Would come from the pace. She would love that. That was her favorite way to watch a race, when they come closing.
And I'm just thinking about Birdsong, who, you know, most notably, you won some stakes with her. And I it occurs to me that I've got to dig these pictures up. I told Tina the other day when I was looking for the pictures, I was there when you guys won in Florida, when you won the Hooper. And
yep.
And I think, and I was there when she won the Ali Sheba, right? She was on hand that day
at
Churchill.
Yes, correct. Yeah, that was, you know, tremendous. You know, that horse gave her a lot of thrills. You know, he wasn't the soundest of horses, but he was, you know, he was a fun horse, just a naturally gifted horse.
And I'm just looking at his record, and you know, $500,000 in earnings, and the five stake wins, and of course one of the sons in this case of Birdtown. And if I'm not mistaken, did you and Carl run against Birdtown in that Oaks in 2003? Were you in that race?
Sorry, Steve. Say it broke up a little on me there. Sorry.
We talk about Birdsong, a son of Birdtown.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember if you had a runner in that Oaks when she won the Oaks with Birdtown.
Yeah, we were in there with a filly called My Boston Gal. We'd beat Birdtown to start before at Keeneland, and she got revenge on us in the Oaks.
I don't know why I remembered that you guys were in there, and that's funny. So you long term, you end up being a beneficiary from a product, and of course, Birdtown, it's part of that great story of her reacquiring her bloodstock, Sonny Whitney's, some of the old stock that she reassembled and went out and found mares that came from her bloodlines, and she gave a fresh rebirth to the whole Whitney name and those wonderful colors, the Eaton blue and the brown.
Yeah, you just can't explain it, you know. You just can't put it into words what Mary Lou meant to the game and what she meant to me and Tracy, you know, just our whole family. She just so much fun, you know. She's a legend.
She is a legend. That's fair enough. We tried to, you know, capture a little bit for everybody, and certainly anybody that's a fan of the game, Ian, they know the name and they know a little, but you know, we heard from Nick Karras on the backstretch. We heard from Michael Veach, Saratoga, and his perspective about what she meant to the town, and you and Nick and Ronaldo Abreu and Mark, Norm Cassie. She gave people a chance. A fascinating, I hate to say throwback, because that's kind of trite, but you know what she represents is that special brand of owner breeder in the sport, and you've been associated yourself with a lot of those types, whether it was Taffel oh my gosh, from Fort Larned, the family.
Mrs. Witham.
Another, I mean, that, you know, isn't necessarily as high profile, but, you know, certainly has that same, you know, that same kind of, that same kind of background.
Yeah. And just what, you know, this is something, Steve, there's a local girl I got to know here, just a friend here in Saratoga, you know, she's just a local, doesn't go to the races or anything, but she said, Mary Lou, what she's done for this city, I want to want to go to her funeral, you know, because what she's done to this city and helped, you know, it's priceless, you know. So people just saying that, that just explains it there.
Very much, very much. And the scene, I was down in New Jersey, but they say the scene at Saratoga was really moving when the announcement came that she was gone. And I wanted to, we'll get to Nick tomorrow, but I wanted to add a horseman side of things. A quick review of yesterday. Some thoughts about the filly. Yours?
Sorry, Steve. Yes, I don't have the greatest. I'm concentrating on listening to you.
The connection's not great. Yesterday, Champagne.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you there? I'm back.
Yeah. No, I'm here. I Champagne anyone yesterday in the coaching club.
Yeah, it's just I'm trying to listen and focus on what you're saying, but it's not the greatest.
All right. You know what? And we're up against the break. We'll catch up soon, Ian. I appreciate the visit. All right.
No problem. Okay, mate.
Thanks. Ian Wilkes, I was going to ask about Champagne Anyone. And fourth yesterday in the Oaks, of course. Guarana continues on, undefeated. There's Chad. I think three, of course, going back to Friday. That unbelievable circumstance that left just the three Chad Brown trainees in the Lake George, which was, all right, it was a little strange. But congratulations to Paul Pompa, our friend Paul, and Regal Glory, the Animal Kingdom. And there's Luis Saez again. So Saez with a great couple of days, Thursday, Friday, and then into New Jersey on Saturday. Still tons to do. Still a lot to recap from the weekend. The big upset in the Caress yesterday. Mommy Nu. And by the way, Mike Welch and the Clocker team, the report yesterday, Momin Nu was right there at 30 to 1, said razor sharp, and ugh, I blew it myself. That was, I missed them. I missed her opportunity. Well, thank everybody. Ian Wilkes, Stuart Simon, Tim Yakteen, Phil D'Amato, Johnny D, Grandpa Johnny. I guess we can't call him, but yeah, we got to. It's Grandpa John now. Mike Veach and Nick Karras. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9. Back with you live. Lots to do. Andy Serling, and I don't know. I'm looking down at this. Probably catch. We never even tried Jason today. We'll try Jason's service tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning. Hey-oh!